a blind lady talking about seeing Jesus. That's what you call faith, confidence, conviction. Praise the Lord. You may be seated tonight. God bless you. We're glad that you're here. And want to invite your attention to the book of Job and chapter number 3. Chapter number 3 of the book of Job. The title of the message tonight is, I Hate My Life. I Hate My Life. We may be speaking to someone tonight, and that's your theme song. That's the way you're thinking, and it ought not to be that way. And we're going to be looking at some of those things that caused Job to go that way. And someone says, well, if you had a loss like he did, if I had a loss like he did, I might have responded worse than he did. But that doesn't give him license, and him doing it doesn't give me license. And so we're instructed of the Lord. God's grace is always sufficient. It's always sufficient. We can always do what we ought to. Oh, it's easier sometimes than it is other times, but we can always do what we ought to. What God wants us to do, we can always do. In Job chapter number 3, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And bear with me as we read down through here, because we need to read the entire thing to get the thought of the message tonight. Chapter 3, not the entire book of Job, but chapter 3. The Bible says, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let the day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it, let a cloud dwell upon it, let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it, and let it not be joined unto the days of the year, let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary, let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark, let it look for light, but have none, neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did a knee prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold and filled their houses with silver, or as a hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from trembling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together, they hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to me that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and in whom God hath hedged in? For my singing cometh before I eat, for my sighing becometh before I eat, and my roaring are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Job has given us a pretty dim view of life at this time in his life. And there's powerful words that were spoken in anger and disgust and disappointment and all those things. And he's very different in chapter 3 than he was in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Here he's a believer. I believe we could call him a Christian. He was one who was going to, according to chapter number 19, he says that he knows his Redeemer liveth. And so I believe him to be a Christian. He's a former wonderful man of God, and yet now he's reached a place where he says, I hate my life. I hate my life. Maybe you have been a friend to someone who said, I hate my life. A neighbor, a relative, maybe a family member. But note some things that Job says about his birth. In verse number 4, he says, let it be darkness, or let it be forgotten. Let it just be hidden away. That's what he's saying. When most men will build monuments so that they'll be remembered, Job says, I just want everybody to forget. I don't want anything written. I don't want anything said. I just don't want to be remembered at all. In verse number 4, he says, let not God regard it. Don't let God even pay any attention to what's going on. Verse 5, he said, let death stain it. Every time Job thought of his life, he thought of death. He said, when I think of life, I think of dying. And it is appointed that every man wants to die, but you don't have to dwell on it every day. And then verse number 6, he said, let it be excluded from the calendar. You know, great things are written down on the calendar. He said, just go in and take it off. Just don't even waste the space on the calendar. Let it be taken off. Verse 7, he says, let it be lonely with no joyful voice. He said, I don't want any company, and I certainly don't want any happy people around me. And then he says, let them curse it, inferring that his friends wish that he was dead too. Have you ever been so low, so discouraged, that you thought your very best friends, really their thought was, let him die? Just let him pass away. At least in heaven he'll be satisfied. He'll be happy there. Well, that's what happened. He says in verse number 13, he says, I'd be better off dead. And then he says some things about life. In verse number 14, he says, life is full of people trying everything in the world to fill a void. Is that you tonight? Are you looking for something, a piece that's missing? Something that there's a void inside that just everything you've tried, it doesn't fit, or it doesn't satisfy, or it doesn't work right, or friends and family members and neighbors and acquaintances, it seems like they've got it all wired up, but I just don't find anything. There's this big void in my life, and I don't find that thing. He mentions in verse number 14, kings and counselors, and of course they built desolate places for themselves, and then they try to fill the void by building empires. Most kings will build an empire. He said, I don't want anything like that. And he said, he's in a bad way. Often people that speak the most are floundering and broken on the inside, and their speech is the only thing they have to give them any rest or any assurance and cause people to think that maybe they're really okay when they're broken, messed up, heart sick, empty, void of any real joy, any real happiness, bad shape. Verse number 15, he mentions princes. He said these princes have gold and they want to fill their house with silver. Most people would say that's one of the goals in life, but He doesn't think that that's right. He doesn't think that's good. He said, I can't understand why they'd even do that. Mark 8 and verse number 36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We need to challenge some of our friends with that. You know, they're putting off the Lord and neglecting. I still believe in my heart that there'll be more people in hell because they neglected than there will be because they rejected. Neglected is wait a little longer, please, Jesus. Rejection is get out of here and leave me alone. And I think there's going to be a lot of people in hell who who planned to get saved someday, but someday never came. Somebody said one time that a lot of people who plan to repent at 11 o'clock die at 10:30. And I think there's something to be said about that. How many people today do you know that are filling their lives with stuff? With stuff. Stuff that in 100 years won't be worth anything. Well, maybe it'll turn around by then, it'll be an antique by then, but it has no real lasting value to it. Stuff. Stuff. How many people are dying to get the new iPhone? And they're going to do what with it? Make a phone call? I tell people when I'm calling and I'm working in any kind of data situation, I say, hey, look, I'm still in trying to get my homing pigeons trained. And now they come up with all this data stuff. I'm needing some real help. I don't understand most of that, but there's so many people trying to fill their lives with things like that. Clothes. Clothes are another thing. Somebody said you can only wear one shirt at a time, so if you have one shirt to wear and one shirt to wash, you ought to have enough shirts. If you looked at my closet, you'd say that's not my philosophy. Clothes, pleasures, things that we do, things we like to do, and the list gets longer and longer and longer. And yet, truth known, they're empty. The people are empty. I'm not talking about their closet being empty. I'm talking about them being empty in their hearts. Verses 16 through 19, that talks about how quick life can end. It's just here and gone. And of course, James talks about that too, and we need to understand that. And infants, wicked, prisoners, small, great, they're all there. Everybody's going to die. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. And of course, Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, we know that we're all having to die. And Job realized that, and he could not understand why anyone would be happy with this death sentence hanging over their head. And he's right. No matter who you are, no matter what your age is, no matter what part of the world you live in, no matter what your academic achievements are or your financial situation is, you're going to die. You're going to die. I talked to the lady that's checking me in for surgery on Friday. And as I spoke to her, she said, is there any questions that you want to ask? And I said, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, I'd like to ask this. If you were to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? Amen. And that's how quiet it got. She said, sir, I don't think I understood what you said. I said, do you know that if you were to die right now, you're going to go to heaven? She said, well, I don't know. I said, what part of that don't you know? Do you know you're going to die? Yes. I said, ma'am, I'm not trying to scare you. She said, you did. I said, we know we're going to die, and yet we don't make any preparations for that. And I asked her if she was going to be there Friday when I got in there, and I think, she said, I'm not sure, but I think in her mind she's thinking, I hope not. But I'd like to visit with her because the lady has never faced that fact before. We're going to die. We're going to die. And here's the good thing about it. Once it's faced and preparation is made, we can relax. Amen. And we can enjoy life. We can be free. So how did Job get here? How did he become so depressed that he would say those things? I think there's some things in our text tonight that would answer those questions for us, and it might answer some questions on our behalf too. First off, he's the only one that can decide. You know, there's some things that are decided for me. The IRS decides how much money I'm going to pay them every year if I make a certain amount of money. They decide that. The highway department decides for me how fast I'm supposed to drive. But there's some things that I'm the only one that can decide. Nobody can make me get saved, and no one can keep me from getting saved. I am the total one in full responsibility of that thing. And so he's the only one that can decide. But here's what he's done. He's allowed a moment not the master, to dictate his attitude. When we allow what's happening at the moment dictate our attitude, we're on the downhill side of a bad day. Jesus is always alive. Jesus is always present. He knew the Lord Jesus. He had seen what God can do. And yet he says, no, I'm gonna let the moment. Nobody knows what I'm going through. But we know what he went through. God put it in a book. We know what he went through. And my heart goes out to him. And I'm not saying I would do better if I were there. I'm just saying he should have done better. And he could have. He could. And if I were there, I could. Whether I did or not, I could. Last week, in chapter 1 and verse number 21, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then he says in verse number 10, I believe it is, in chapter 2, he says, but he said unto her, speaking to his wife, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. And so we find that Job had changed quite a bit. Here's a question. Do you think the Lord Jesus changed between chapter 1 and 2 and into chapter 3? The Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. And so we know that Jesus didn't change, so there's nothing different about the Lord. But there's a lot different about the life of Job. If you're going to, if I'm going to, if we're going to allow circumstances of our life to be the determining factor of how much joy we're going to have, how much happiness we're going to have, if they're going to specify what we can do and what we can't do, we're going to be miserable. Let me give you some good news tonight. Someone's going to dump you. Someone you thought was really your friend is going to dump you. They are. Just well know that. They're going to walk off, turn their back on you. You think that you're the worst person, the worst friend they ever had. Maybe they're even telling people that you were. Somebody's going to do that. And you can let that build you, or you can let that break you. And you're the only one that can make that decision. People can pep talk you. People can pat you on the back. People can pray with you, pray for you. But you have to make the decision, just like getting saved. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. If you got saved on your own, I mean, you made the choice to get saved, and that's the way we have to face service for the Lord Jesus. It's our decision. It's our decision. Someone's going to fire you. Someone says, oh my. He's been talking to my boss. No, that's not it. A lot of people lose their jobs. A lot of people lose their jobs. Sometimes deservingly so. If I were a business owner today, there'd be a lot more people losing their job. I mean, if I was going to go bankrupt because of bad service from bad employees, I'd can the bad employees and sell my stock while it still had some worth. Why wait till they drive it into the ground and you take a negative loss on it? Doesn't make sense to me. Someone's going to fire you. And then someone's going to say mean things to you. When we were missionaries, we traveled a lot. And we had a young man that would say all the time, no, excuse me, a young lady, say all the time, he said a mean word to me. Someone said, what word did he say? I can't say that word. And the word might have been no. It might have been anything. But someone's going to say a bad word to you. Somebody's going to say something mean to you. And then in other situations, someone, no doubt motivated by love. Someone is going to tell you that so-and-so said such and such about you, and it's going to tip your apple cart over. It's just going to happen. Get ready for it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I promise you. And we need to trust the Lord for that. Feelings. Somebody said feelings are wonderful servants, but they're terrible masters. Amen. And when we live our life, we make our next decision on how we feel, shame on us. We're in for some rude awakenings. And probably sooner than we think, and maybe taking us deeper than we ever thought. What we have in Christ Jesus. Here, listen, if you don't get these next two, or these anything else, get these next two thoughts tonight. What we have in Christ Jesus never changes. Amen. His love never changes. His compassion never changes. His patience never changes. What we have in Christ Jesus never, ever changes. Now, who we appear to be in Christ Jesus also should never change. In chapter 1 and chapter 2, what people had seen in Job last week, they saw in him that week. The things that he said last week, he said this week. His love, his compassion, his source of interest in the things of the Lord. What he was last week, he was that week. The week when everything fell apart. But he got on this side of it and had some real problems. And so he allowed the moment, not the master, to dictate his attitude. Number two, he didn't believe it could ever get any better. I feel sorry for these people living in wherever they live, in squalor, holler, or wherever. Wherever it is they live, and somebody sticks a microphone in their face, and they say, well, why don't you leave? Oh, I'm stuck here. I'm stuck here for the rest of my life. There's no place to go and no one to go with me and no money to go with, and I'm just stuck here. So it's never going to get any better for me. Shame on them. We know a young man at 13 years of age walked up here from Honduras because he said, things here will never get any better. I'm going someplace where it is better. It puts a lot of light on a lot of this nonsense about no, nothing's getting any better. Nothing's ever going to get any better. It's always going to be a bad thing. And so he didn't believe it was ever going to get any better. In Job chapter 7 and verse number 6, he says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they're spent without hope. Without hope. We have a song that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We have a hope. And that hope isn't, I hope. That isn't an empty wish. That's a positive outlook on something we know is going to happen. Hope in Christ Jesus. And he said, I have no hope. He came to a place rather quickly, actually, when he said he had given up, that it could ever be any better. And let me say to you tonight, regardless of where you're at, your life can be better than it is. It can be better than it is. Now, you might be here tonight and you're enjoying life, and a lot of parts of my life I'm enjoying more than I've enjoyed any time in my life. But there's still room for improvement. There's still room to make it gooder, better. There's still room for that. And here's some things that'll help us to have a better life, no matter how good our life is. Number one, if we have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. The more we study the Word of God, the more we see the mind of God, the more we see the heart of God, the more we see the will of God, the more we want to be like the Lord Jesus. And as we develop a deeper relationship with Him, things get better. Things get better. Here's another thing. Find some better friends. If you have friends that you're all the time trying to pump up and pump up and pump up and they give nothing back into the relationship, I'm not telling you to dump them and tell them just to go jump in a creek or something, but you need to get some positive friends too. You need to get some people that know where they're going. And they're going there for the right reasons. And you need to fellowship with them. You need some better friends. And then it's possible for your health to get better. Boy, several of us are praying to that end. You think Brother Leslie prays for that? I believe probably he does. I'm certain that he does, that he prays his health will improve. But it's a lie of the devil that says this is just the way it is and it can never change. That's a lie of the devil. It can be better. It can be. God wants it to be better than you saying, I hate my life. I hate my life. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass at that time I will search Jerusalem with candles. They didn't have one of our lights. He's going to search it with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. To settle lees, if you had a bottle of liquor, and this is not liquor, this is 100% pure water if it came out of the tap that way. Lees are that part of the of a drink. I think it probably could apply to anything, but they refer to it in liquor. It's the part of the liquor that settles out over a time and stays at the bottom. And when it's when it gets that way, it's sold cheaper than it is if you can't see that. It's in there, but you can't see it. It's mixed up. You can't see it. And it's it makes the liquor worth throwing away. And even people that don't that drink liquor and don't like liquor, they are like liquor, but they drink it, don't want it with lees in it. And God says, here's a bunch of people that have come so close to giving up, they've settled on their lees. Life is just giving them a bad turn. Everywhere they look, life is settling out and it's just all floating down there. But I'm satisfied with it. I'm just gonna bite the bullet and be tough. I'm just gonna go on with life, be miserable and make everybody else miserable too. That's what's happening. People are settling, not serving. People are settling, not satisfied. People are settling, not sharing Christ. And when we get down to that place, listen, God's fixing on putting the Board of Education at the seat of learning in our hearts and our lives. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. The Bible testifies that it is so. God can change your spouse. Because you don't know the person I'm married to. God can change your spouse. How big is your God? God can change your spouse. Several times of late I've been reminded, and I know that the devil could still throw a monkey wrench in things, but several times I've been reminded that when Justin first started talking transplant, he was talking 3 to 5 years out. And it's just been 6 months maybe. I'm not sure exactly when they started on that. But God can save your family. God can save your family. Your family, they've got you convinced that they're rugged and tough. They're no tougher than other people. None. God can still save your family. God can bring back your health. Now, if there's a difference between God bringing back your health and God making you a healthy 60-year-old, there's a difference between that and God making you 16. He's not going to make you 16 again, but he's able to bring back your health. I believe God's able to heal a nation. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I believe God can heal a nation. And he can do that because he's God. We're sometimes looking at a problem instead of looking at how big our God is. Yeah. How big is your God? Excuse me, I got so close to this water hole ago, I had to, and there's no lees in there so I can drink it. A little boy and his daddy were talking one day, and the little boy said to his dad, Dad, how big is God? And his dad said, well, son, do you see that airplane way up there? He said, yeah, it's a long ways away. I can just barely see it. He said, well, remember that. Then they got in the car and they drove over to the airport, and Dad showed him the same type of an airplane up close. He says, is there a difference between that airplane and that airplane? He says, yeah, this one's huge. It's huge. And he said, no, it's the same size that one is. The difference is you're closer to this one. Your God is just as big as you are close to him. The closer you get to your God, the bigger he becomes in your mind and heart. And in your life. So we could ask ourselves the question, how big is your God? Well, he allowed the moment, not the master, to dictate his attitude. He didn't believe it would ever get better. And then thirdly, he did not want to hear the truth. You know, some people are just miserable and they don't want anybody to get them out of their misery. That's just the way life is. The Bible in verses 20 and 23 talk about light. Talk about light. He rejected the light. I don't want out of this situation. I want to be miserable. I want everybody to know I'm miserable. That's where Job had come. That's what Job was doing. Sometimes when we have this attitude about us, there's several things that happen. Number one, we discourage other people. I think Job Lot, as messed up as Lot became because he got attached to the world, I think he proves that every one of us has an influence on several people. Your circle of influence may be a lot smaller than somebody else's is, but you have an influence on certain people. And you might be the difference between them being saved and lost, or once they get saved, between them saving and serving and not serving. You have an influence. And you can discourage other people. And then when we get down in the dumps like Job was here, we tell people by our actions, we tell them that God is either unwilling to do anything about it, or uncaring to do anything about it. And how can we charge a God who is infinite, a God who can do anything? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, Jesus said. How can we accuse him of being unable to do something? And then to say that he's uncaring. When he died the kind of a death that he died, That erases any thought of Jesus not caring for us. And we ought to pass that tip along to a lot of other people. There are many people who reject help. They don't want the help that's been offered to them. They turn away from help. They refuse offers to help. But here's a truth that we need to consider as we finish tonight. Job had allowed himself to become what he had formerly hated. Get that now. Job had allowed himself to become, he eschewed evil, the Bible tells us. And now he's the picture boy, he's the calendar pinup for evil. He has allowed himself to become that which he hated in the lives of other people. How many times, listen to me, how many times I've seen people raised by drunks and they hate it, they detest it, they break the booze any chance they get, they hide the money that's going to buy the booze, they track Dad down and throw his booze away. But when they're able to start making decisions on their own, they become drunks, verified, bona fide, certified, drunks. If you're not careful as a child of God, you can become the exact thing you hate in the life of other people. You hate those things. Take your Bible tonight and let's go back to the latter part of the book of Job. And we'll do that several times during the messages, but We'll still have plenty there by the time we get there. Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Oh, it's music to hear those pages turning like that. Job chapter 42. Notice verse number 10. The Bible says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." And then drop over and look at verse number 12. "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep," and goes on and on and on, "and 7 sons and 3 daughters," in verse 13. You see, Job's life didn't end like we see it in chapter 3. Amen. And your life doesn't have to end like it is right now either. Doesn't have to. God has a plan. God has a plan. And if the God of the world, the God of the universe, if the Lord Jesus lives in your heart by the Holy Spirit of God, you have everything you need except a will to do so that you need to change your life to the better for the rest of your life. You can, because He can. How big is your God? Or maybe I ought to say, how close to Him are you? When you say God can't, you're admitting you're too far away from Him. And Job's life at the end proves he didn't die like he was living in chapter 3. And you don't have to you don't have to die like you're living on the 15th of November of 2023. Things can be better. And God wants them better. The question is, do you? Let's pray.